Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're so excited to have all of our viewers on the Gulf Coast, all the way from Pascagoula, Mississippi to Sandestin. And we're encouraged to be in your living rooms Monday through Friday, 5 to 6. Of course, we want to give a shout-out to all of those that are listening all over the country and the world. It's an honor for us to be here with you today, and we have several things that we're going to discuss with you. But joining me today in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. Looking good today, man. You're looking good. I don't care what Steve said. Okay, today you're looking good. I see that you guys coordinated colors.
I guess you didn't get the green memo.
No, blue for Israel today. And Steve Kalishewski.
He's kind of quick with that one, wasn't he?
I was prepared. Good day.
Hey, how are you?
Hey,
good to see you.
Good
day,
good to
sir.
See you.
It's good.
Thank you. Well, if you missed any of our previous programs, know this, that we are standing with Israel, and we have been talking about what has been happening in Iraq and what is happening with this Islamic State and how it's time now not to talk about it, but to be about it, and how it's time to save these folks that are on Sinjar Mountain and get rid of this ISIS. I mean, the general said two words, you know, destroy ISIS. That's what he would say. Give a general patent order. Mm-hmm. And you got to see this if you missed it in our previous program. But the general just came out and said it. We need to get them out of here. Mm-hmm. Well, right now, we're going to be sharing how we need to pray for Pastor Saeed Abedini. He's an American-Iranian pastor who has been sentenced. He's in prison right now. Last reports were he was in Evin prison, notorious Evin prison. And he has been sick at times. He's been not getting the medical treatment. He's been beaten. All sorts of things have happened to him. And Jay Sekulow and Jordan Sekulow have been working tirelessly to make sure that he gets free. And reports are that ISIS is wanting to kill him, and we need to pray for him. So, Lord, we just pray for Pastor Saeed Abedini's safety. We ask that you just deliver him and bring him home. But we want you to see this video of Pastor Saeed's children asking the president to do something and bring their daddy home. Watch this.
Dear President Obama, please help bring my daddy home. I miss him so much. I want my daddy to bring me to Disneyland for my birthday. I don't want to miss another birthday without him. I don't want him to miss another birthday or Christmas or Father's Day. Please help bring him home. Why does our daddy need to be in prison for loving Jesus?
My heart cries because it misses daddy, and it, when it's sleeping, it cries, and misses daddy a lot, a thousand lot. And it doesn't stop crying, and it's crying right now.
Where is it crying? How do you know it's crying?
Because I feel it.
Oh. Your heart is crying?
Yeah.
Oh.
I pray that I'll come back home, but he's still not back home.
Wow. This is Pastor Abedini's children pleading with the president, President Obama, please bring our daddy home. We want to encourage you to share, this video, this message virally, share with your friends, and most importantly, continue to pray for Pastor Saeed. I mean, he went there to share the gospel, and he's literally sitting in prison because he did that. Mm-hmm. And it's just not right, and we want him to see him free, and ISIS now wants to kill him. Wow. And so let's band together as we have been doing faithfully. Let's continue to keep him lifted up in prayer. You know, also Amen. In today's program, we're going to be talking about rediscovering God in America, reflections on the role of faith in our nation's history and future. Just a great little book that came out. But we're going to talk about how, believe it or not, this country was founded on Christian principles. No matter how much media you hear that will try to say otherwise, mm-hmm. we know different, and we're going to share with you some more about that. Also, this 3D technology, I'm telling you, this is amazing. We are going to show you on today's program a saxophone.
A saxophone.
That was printed.
Does it work?
I'm going to let you hear it, and you tell me if it works. But it's amazing. Now, I mean, what this technology and what this is going to open. Right now, these things could cost, they're pretty expensive, a couple thousand dollars to get one. But at, like, you know, things progress and technology progresses, price comes down. And now, besides having a printer that prints ink out, many people are going to have printers that will print all sorts of objects out. And just invention and all type of design, these are going to be absolutely amazing. But we're going to talk more about that in our program, more when we get right back from our break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The benefits of healthy in-law relationships stretch way beyond a single generation. For Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Here's Focus President Jim Daly talking with John Townsend about the understated power of loving your in-laws.
What are some of those positives, and why should we go to the effort of investing?
Guys, there are just so many of those to have a great multi-generational family. First off, you've got just the wisdom of being around people who've been through that life and can and offer a big perspective when you know, you're upside down with kids or finances or life or whatever. A second one is that our children need somebody to aspire to. Now, they're supposed to aspire to be like us as parents, but then they have another whole generation to aspire to. And then the third one is a sense of legacy.
More to help your in-law relationships thrive at FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
You confidently, the patriarch David, he died and he was buried. He was talking about Jesus. He was prophesying about this Jesus whom you crucified. And he goes on, he says, listen, he's sitting at the right hand of Father, that the Father, David prophesied. That's where he is right now. In verse 36, he says, therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. I mean, think about it. That means what? He's over everything, including you. He's over you. He's over the governments. He's over all the governments on the face of the earth. All authorities established by God. All of it's established by God. Romans chapter 13, 1 through 5. It's him. They're his servants. He says, when the people heard this, their hearts, when the people heard this, he says, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles that were standing with them, what shall we do? This is so important because when you hear the gospel being preached today, the truth is what they're saying is, who can't be saved? Come on to the concert, let's do it, right? We got a big boo, come on in. But when Jesus preached, the disciples who walked with him said, who can be saved?
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, Light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we want to talk about rediscovering God in America. You know, three kind of pillars of VFN TV, VFN TV, is the fact that we stand for God and country in that order and for Israel. And we've shared many segments, many programs on the original intent of our nation. And we believe that God has great things in store for the United States, but, you know, we're going to need to respond to God. We are a blessed nation. And I'll tell you, the more that I get a chance to speak to people that are from other nations and have visited other nations, I marvel at the tremendous blessing that we have here in the United States. And I consider how many folks have taken it for granted. I met a gentleman the other day from Sri Lanka. We'll be talking more about him, you know, in this segment. But he says he's a citizen. He says, I feel I'm more American than many of the people that live here and have generations here all their life. And he says, I believe in this country and what this country has been able to do and help and touch, you know, all over the world. And so I go, wow, amazing. But I've came across this book. It's called Rediscovering God in America, written by Newt Gingrich. And it's an excellent little book. I've enjoyed it. And basically what he does in this book is kind of talk to us about God and how God has always been in the forefront of this country. And he takes you on a walking tour, if you will, of the monuments in Washington, D.C. Pretty amazing. So you go to National Archives, the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, Lincoln Memorial, Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the U.S. Capitol Building, Supreme Court, Library of Congress, and a few others. And really, really insightful, but really got me to thinking, you know, where are we today? You know, where are we? The America we're seeing today, that is far different. Far different from what the founding fathers had envisioned. And it's not that it's totally over for America, but you will not find too many people who will say that she is not on a slippery slope. I mean, you know, not looking good right now. And we believe there's going to be some of the best of times and the worst of times kind of all combined. And there's still hope. I mean, there is still hope for America. But, you know, we're going to need to do what we're going to need to do, which is turn our hearts back to God to see everything change and turn back the way it needs to be. But today in society, you look back and you start to see, you know, how God's being removed everywhere. I think Todd Starnes wrote a book called Godless in America, and it kind of talks about these things. But you look back and when prayer was taken out of school, you know, it's God being taken out of school. You look back where now you see on different school events, whether it be high school graduation or any type of, you know, program, there's no prayer allowed at these public events. So you're taking prayer out of the public, you know, stage of these events at school. You've seen where the Ten Commandments were pulled down. I mean, Major and the judge Moore in Alabama, I mean, they had to take the Ten Commandments off of his courtroom wall.
Wow, remember that?
Remember that? I mean, that was serious. Like, no, don't want God, right? And then, of course, there was a major push to remove "In God We Trust" off of our money, and this happened back in 2013. There was a case that came against the U.S. Treasury Department. Huffington Post reports this, and he says, and other government officials who brought forth by the Freedom From Religion Foundations and others, and this is basically what happened. They were represented by an atheist lawyer called Michael Newdow, and the plaintiffs argued that they were forced to proselytize by an act of Congress for the deity they don't believe in, and whenever they handled money. Well, back in 2013, this did not pass. This did not go through. It was actually dismissed. And In dismissing the suit, the district judge, Harold Baer, wrote that the Supreme Court has repeatedly assumed that the motto's secular purpose and effect, according to the Associated Press. Also, he ruled that the federal courts have found no constitutional violation in the motto's inclusion on our currency. This is what the judge ruled. And that the placement of the phrase didn't constitute a substantial burden on atheists. You know, In God We Trust was first approved by Congress and put on our coins during the Civil War in 1864. Uh-huh. And then, you know, Congress back in 1956 basically passed a resolution to say that this would be our national motto, replacing E Pluribus Unum. And it's just interesting to see how all that, you know, unfolds. And then recently we shared on VFN TV how there's the Prayer Caucus and other organizations that did a big push right now to get In God We Trust back on everything that was basically scraped out of. And we'll make sure that's related.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's so significant when you understand, because a lot of times, you know, we're talking so much about what's happening in Israel and Gaza and about the media, and it's the same thing. It's just like you can't listen specifically to what's being shared about in regards to the government of America, because there are leaders that are seeking the face of God. There are leaders that are praying. There are leaders that are understanding that our only strength comes from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's so huge to hear how they're having such a forceful advance to say, no, we stand on In God We Trust. And also, too, what's so significant, like you're talking about as far as taking the Ten Commandments out of the courtrooms, Wall Builders did a fabulous segment, I think it's like a 10-part DVD, and we'll make it related. There's a past article we talked about it, but it's called the American Heritage Series, and David Barton does, and it's a conversation that they have going step by step through the process of how America was birthed based off of the truth of just the biblical heritage and understanding where we come from and understanding how we got here. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's just the whole time you're just listening, amazed and shocked. It's like, I didn't know that.
But the truth is, if you listen to today's media outlets, you would be convinced that God has no place in our government, no place in our country, when in fact it was our country that was founded for the purpose of people looking for a place where they can freely serve God.
That's right.
I mean, the pilgrims came here, and even Israel financed Christopher Columbus's voyage here to say, go find us a place where we can worship, because King Ferdinand is throwing us out in Spain. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. But all of this, you know, ultimately led to the Declaration of Independence. I had an awesome opportunity when I lived up in the Northeast in New Jersey to go to Philadelphia and the city of brotherly love, and just to be around. I went to Constitution Hall, and, man, it was just awesome just to see where even the Declaration of Independence was actually written out. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really cool. It's downtown. I mean, the house, they preserve a house in the middle next to a building, but I saw it. but listen to what the Declaration of Independence actually says. It says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to this separation. This is the part that a lot of people are familiar with. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Think about that. It says that, you know, these truths and these rights are what? They are endowed by our Creator. Mm-hmm. That means, endowed means supplied by God.
Right.
You know? Unalienable means incapable of being transferred by another. That's what that means. It's incapable. That means the state can't transfer these rights. You can't transfer this thing because it was already given to us by God. And these, mm-hmm. this thing we're talking about is called our rights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We call our rights. And it's so important because there are some that would want you to believe that rights come from government.
Right.
I mean, really, they would really want you to believe that rights don't come from God, that they come from government. But in order to do that, they have to discredit God. And that's why God has been trying to, you know, you either try to discredit God, you either try to ignore God, you try to either remove God
mm-hmm.
so that there's no discussion of it,
mm-hmm.
of him. If taken any kind of reference out of, you know, what's being taught in schools today, and it's like you would think that if your child goes to school that God was not even on the forefront of the minds of the founding fathers. They say the Declaration of Independence, you know, oftentimes there's 27 things that were listed in the Declaration of Independence, and they always talk about taxes.
Mm,
they
right.
don't talk about how King George right. intertwined the state and religion together, and to disobey the king would be to disobey God. And that's not right. But if we remember that if the government is the one that gives us these rights, then understand that the government is the one who can take away these rights.
Right.
Our rights are given from God. Simple, plain, mm-hmm. simple. And look at the freedom that God gives every man. I mean, we talk about that word a lot, you know, and especially in the United States, and we talk about fighting for freedom and defending freedom and how that's a core value for us. But freedom didn't even originate with the United States. Hello.
Right.
It originated with God. And look at the freedom that God gives every man, woman, and child who has ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God's given each person the freedom to either receive him or to reject him.
Mm-hmm.
It's given them the freedom of choice, which is powerful because with the freedom of choice then comes, you know, consequences for the choices that you make.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear people make these false claims that, this country was not founded on Christian principles, we want you to remind them of some of these words. And this is interesting. This is what President Washington said. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God and to obey his will. Think about that. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge God and the providence of Almighty God and to obey his will. This is
powerful.
George Washington. Or listen to what Benjamin Franklin said. God governs in the affairs of men, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?
Mm.
Understand that when you look at some of these other nations around the world and you think, man, it is rough. This is an impoverished place. There is mm-hmm. no technology. There's no comparison. Why has God blessed us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Benjamin Franklin was a signer of the Declaration of Independence and of the Constitution. And when you think about the Declaration of Independence, it contains four references to God. One as a lawmaker, the laws of nature and nature's God, as creator endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, as supreme judge, the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, and as protector. Four times in the Declaration of Independence, the protection of divine providence.
Mm-hmm.
So to separate God from, you know, America in terms of why our country was founded, you know, because they were founded on Judeo-Christian, you know, principles, hello, it's a big thing.
Right.
It really is a big thing. And we want God in our nation. We want the blessing of the Lord in our nation. And if we lose God, then believe me, we're close to you know, losing our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about meeting a gentleman the other day from Sri Lanka, and he was telling me that in that country, there's only 8-13% Christians in that country. 75%, he was guesstimating, are Buddhists, and the rest are Muslim. And he was telling me how, you know, that nation is poor, and that our American currency was like 130 whatever the currency is in Sri Lanka is compared to our $1. I mean, it's he said things have changed here in the last several years, but if you had American money, you could live like, you know, very well, he was saying. And then I know folks who have been to Haiti, and they say the same thing, you know, about the stark contrast between the wealth of the United States and a poor country like Haiti. And there's tons of other countries that we can begin comparing. But one of the things that we have to remember is that we just didn't get here. America didn't get here because we pulled up our own bootstraps. We didn't get here just because of our hard work and our intelligence. Mm-hmm. We got here because there were men and women that loved God in this country, that wanted to put God first and wanted to do the right thing. They wanted to honor God. Mm-hmm. And we have been seeing, you know, a decline, if you will. And there's moments in our country where there's great outpouring, and we had a first great awakening, a second great awakening. We've had many revivals in our country where people were turning back to God. And then we've seen times where it's been very dark. And what we want to do is avoid the slippery slope that we're on. I mean, we can turn the tide. We can turn our hearts back to God. When we get back from this break, we're going to discuss more about rediscovering God and saying, you know what? We want to be a nation that not just says, God bless America, but we want to be a country that says America is going to bless God. Mm-hmm. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read the commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions. That really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the Multiply, it's the MultiplyMovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe VineFellowshipNetwork.org is for you. Or go to MultiplyMovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torch lately, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're talking about Rediscovering God in America. Great little book I picked up. Not finished with it yet, written by Newt Gingrich, and it talks about reflections on the role and faith of our nation's history and future. And he takes you on a walking tour of some of the monuments, and really interesting. It just kind of gives us a perspective that oftentimes is not being shared in today's media educational system. And but what we're seeing today in our society is everywhere God is mentioned, there's trying to either erase it or ignore it away, you know, or discredit it. And the truth is that you can't do that. He's God. You can't do it. And so, well, we got to get back to this, which is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then what? God will forgive our sin, heal our land. He'll, you know, he'll turn. We'll turn, you know, he'll restore us. But this is what we need to do. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We got to turn back to God. You know, this is what was said when George Washington took the oath of office in 1789. He asked that the Bible be turned to Deuteronomy 28. That's what he asked. And immediately following the oath, George Washington added, "So help me God." And then bent forward and kissed the Bible before him.
Wow.
The first president. Think about what the first president, then he turned the Bible to Deuteronomy 28. He said, "I want that open." I want you to read the first verse in Deuteronomy 28. It says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth."
Wow.
Come on now. Man. That's some good stuff right there.
That's good.
That's some good stuff. This is the beginning. These are the roots. These are first principles of America. And the truth is that if we want politicians and leaders in government like George Washington today, then we must first be those people, lovers of God, because from us, you know, that's how we get elected officials. Elected officials is when us, we the people, someone rises up and says, "I want to serve my country. I want to be a representative." So it's not about pointing at a politician and say, "You get right." It's about us getting right as a nation. And among us, as we're getting right and we're turning our hearts to God, we elect representatives that are going to stand for God and country, right? But God absolutely first.
That's right.
Listen, it's time to return back to our original intent. It's time to say, you know what? It's not about God blessing America. It's almost embarrassing to say that anymore, because really, how much more does God have to bless America? Right. We are the lone superpower in the world. You know, we have one of the most amazing militaries in the world, great servicemen and women. Even in our recession, if you will, and tough economic times that our country is in the middle of and still trying to recoup from, we are still by far the most wealthiest people in all of the land. I believe, you know, we only represent 5% of the population, but 80% of the world's wealth is in this country. And the United States has sent out more Christian missionaries than any other nation. God has blessed us indeed. It's no longer, I don't think, appropriate to say, you know, "God bless America." I think we need to start saying, maybe, "America, let's bless God. Let's get ourselves together. Let's get ourselves right and return back to the Father, return back to his ways, and make God's values our priorities. Let's get the Ten Commandments back up on the walls. But more than on the walls, let's get the Ten Commandments back in our hearts. Let's live for God. And the natural byproduct of doing right are the blessings that come for obedience in Deuteronomy 28. When we get our hearts right, the natural byproduct is God's just going to bless us because we are doing things with the right motives in the right ways. Let me tell you, it's time to get back to the original intent. Well, Steve, talk to us. I know that you have an abiding word for us, and share with us what God laid on your heart.
Yeah. I've been just reading through Romans recently, and that is just so encouraging. And just to just take your time, I just encourage you, just start at just page one.
Page one, chapter one.
Page right? one, chapter one. Mm-hmm. You can't beat it. And I was just soaking, just asking God to speak to me. In Romans 8, it says, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the sons of God. For the sons of God to be revealed. And I just had to just sit in and just soak on that. And it's just like creation is waiting for those to just say, I want to know God in my life. I want to live my life for God. And I just really just started thinking about that. It's just like, why? What's the eager expectation? It's like, you got to think about, you know, the Bible talks about that, you know, once this gospel is preached to all who have ears, then the end will come. It's in Matthew 24 and in Revelation, it talks about the fact that there's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. And it's just like, this isn't everything. It's like, there's so much more. And it's like, even creation is longing for who's going to say yes to him? Who's going to say yes to him? Because it's like, even creation is longing for that newness of eternity. And it's just, it really got me to thinking. It's like that creation can see what the world can't. And it's just like, there's a lot of people that can say, it's just like, yeah, I'm following God, or I'm, you know, God is good. And then so often it's like, we're so quick to be able to spot an imitation, you know, or a replication. And, you know, in our culture, it's like, we can see so many of those things. I mean, I have to think about, like purses. And,
really, you think about,
I mean, I don't. Okay, let me just bring some clarity to that.
Can you clarify that statement? Help us out today, okay. Steve.
I'm getting concerned.
Yes,
U.S. Okay. Marine, help us out.
There we go. I don't randomly think about purses on my day-to-day routine.
Okay.
In context of this thought, I do have thought about. That didn't make any sense.
What are you talking about? We could. But notice knockoffs or fake things.
Yeah, exactly.
And, okay.
Thank you.
I'm helping you, bro. I'm with you.
There we go. I'm feeling the love from John over here. Pat, not so much. Okay. But you think about it, and it's just like the world can so quickly spot an imitation or knockoff purse by just saying, you know, they can look and just say, you know, the stitching's a little differently, or I can see the emblem.
Now, I don't know how they do that.
Because, I don't know how they do it
I'm
either.
Like, hey, whatever, it's a bag, but go ahead.
Exactly. But it's just like someone can look a little, just a little bit deeper past the surface image and say, yeah, I know that's what it says, but let's look a little bit deeper. Is it really what it says? And that's so significant, because we have to be that same way with God. We have to be that same way and say, I want to go deeper. I want God to be able to see deeper in me and say, it's not about just what's on the outside, and say, am I being authentic? Real creation in Christ? Because it says, you know, when you continue reading in Romans, he says, the spirit that you received doesn't make you slaves so that you live in fear again. He says, the spirit you received brought your adoption to sonship. And by that we cry, Abba, Father. He says, the spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. And it's like, if you think about whoever created the purse or whoever created the knockoff, the creator knows that's my work. I created that. That over there, that's a knockoff. He can see just by looking at it that, okay, that's the authentic one. And it's like, God, the creator of all the heavens and all the earth, he knows who are his, and he knows who's the knockoff.
Yes, he does.
And that's the thing. It's just like, and when you, and you look over in 2 Corinthians, it says, now it is God who makes us, who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. This is so awesome. He says, he anointed us, set his seal of ownership. It's like God has his own emblem. God has a seal of ownership on us, and he put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And it's just like, that's pretty awesome.
That's good.
That's awesome. So I think about it, and it's just like, okay, if we can dig a little deeper into a purse and think, like, okay, what's the stitching? What's the emblem?
Right.
Is this a real or knockoff? And it's like, okay, how do we look deeper into, are we an authentic Christian? And Jesus says we have to have fruit. You know them by their fruit, right? And it's like, okay, well, what is that fruit? Well, you can read it, like, specifically, it talks about in Galatians, it says it's love, joy, It's peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh my goodness.
Mm.
When we spend time, that, and that's why you hear so much talking about abiding. But I just think that's so powerful that it's just like God has his own emblem.
That's good.
God has marked us by his Spirit, and it's through his Spirit that testifies that we are sons, we are daughters. And it's just like, if you don't know this, God, if you don't understand, it's just like God has called you. God wants to put a mark on you and say, I want you to be mine.
Yeah.
So that the world knows that's one of God's, that's one of his.
Yeah. Right. That's so beautiful, because we talked about this as well before, a Christian in theory or a Christian in reality.
Yeah.
You know, because today I believe that many people sell themselves short in being Christian in name, at least, but not Christian, Christ-like in their everyday living. And there's a huge difference between loving God and being in love with God. Huge difference.
Yeah.
And what you want to be is in love with him, because he is in love with you. And he's designed us for relationship. He's designed us to walk with him and talk with him and live life and to glorify him. And like you were saying, Steve, bear fruit. Bear fruit. Our whole life is all about, you know, bearing fruit and glorifying the Son, glorifying the Father, and blessing him, you know, by our obedience, by our lives, and what comes out of it. And it's so true. God knows the difference if it's a knockoff or if this is authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our quest. That's our goal, is to be authentic as we can be. And you know, oftentimes the enemy of authenticity is oftentimes a religious spirit, because a religious spirit, it has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. And it looks like it and sounds like it. And sometimes a lot of people are maybe have grown up, you know, attending church gatherings, and after a while they know the talk, if you will, and the lingo and what's expected and maybe what's right, and they think that that's encountering God, but in reality they don't know God. And you can get it all twisted, because you think you know about him, but you don't know him. And there's what I think you're saying, Steve. It's like, this is not quite authentic. This is close. It has some similarities.
Like it. It looks like it.
It has the design, and it talks like it and looks like it.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get closer, when we actually touch and feel it, and we come in contact with this or you, the authenticity of a loving relationship is not there.
Yeah.
And you can clearly know when someone is talking about God out of their head, and when they're speaking to them, speaking from out of their heart, because I know him.
Yeah.
I think about the man I met from Sri Lanka. He said, you know, I was a Buddhist, and when I gave my life to God in that country, he says, I just gave my life because a pastor, you know, asked me, and I was just kind, but I really didn't know God. And I battled for a year, a couple years, I think he said, you know, and there's no teaching like we have here. It's just, you know, he didn't have electricity until he was 19 years old, by the way.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And he says, but God one day revealed himself to me. And I know that Jesus Christ is real. And I experienced love, something that I've never experienced before in my life. He was abused. I've experienced the love of God. And I experienced him in the Word of God, and I was amazed to know that God can love me like that.
Amazing.
And that's the desire that God has for you. He desires for you to know him in the most intimate ways, and for you to be a son and a daughter of God. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
You know, people don't believe one day, used to play football.
We're family. Did you know that? God has called us to be family. We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's what we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought Jesus has lost his mind.
That's right.
He lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. Of all the things he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings. They have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
You remember that 5 minutes?
In the vapor?
Yeah, the vapor. That was a vapor in a vapor. Mm. No, he really did. He was the Mako. I remember here's a picture of him playing. Well, you're actually sitting on a bench, but I remember the pictures in the bench. I don't know. I didn't remember the picture of you on the bench.
Oh my goodness!
He had the bandana on.
It's because the offense was on the field.
He looked like Deion Sanders, man. Oh, you were in the offense.
Well, when you play defense, you're not on there when the offense is on the field.
Oh, you were playing defense.
Yeah,
defense. Oh, okay.
I thought he was.
I didn't go both ways.
He's a little defensive. He's a little defensive. What do you say? Yeah.
And the bandana was for the helmet across the forehead. It would always rub me raw, so that's why you do it.
It wasn't to protect your hair.
It wasn't for a style, by any means.
It held down his mullet.
Ooh.
I thought he had one.
Feather.
No, he didn't.
The feather thing?
No, at that time. Did you wear your Oakleys when you were playing?
Oh, my God. Moving on.
Okay. Pictures. Give me those pictures.
Oh, we have them.
We have
transparent. You speak about transparent. Oh, we have transparency. We have. Oh, it's amazing. Got some great stuff. Thanks to his mother. She is so sweet. We have a shout out this morning to Renee, and thank you. We sat on the floor laughing, digging through photos. I thought, you know, she's so sweet. I was like, oh, my goodness, she's got a streak here going. And she's like, look at this one. Look at this one.
Oh, my God.
You kept pulling them out, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, we have pictures of, you know, Pat in the early radio days. He has his earphones on, or whatever you call these things. And he is sitting there he's getting ready for radio. Remember that? You were probably about, I don't know, half a day old. Well, there it is, right there. I see it on the torch.
Oh, yeah. That
Let me pull that up real quick.
Remember the big old headphones?
Yeah, they're huge, yeah.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And yes, we may make that picture available for you. Mm. Pat was born to do radio. I mean, there is a picture with him with some nice headphones, and if we can get that, maybe Renee, Chris, you guys can help us out. We can see about getting that.
Yeah, I don't think that one exists anymore.
No, we have a research team.
We can consider other sources.
I just got the nod. Yep, it's official.
Yes, it is.
It's official.
Yes. I know where you live.
It's official. We can get it, but interesting. So, I mean, it was we early morning hours, I guess, and I'm hearing this strange sound. It's my Doberman, and he's barking quite loudly. Mm-hmm. But you know, like when you're in a good sleep at 3 in the morning, mm-hmm. and because you know you got to get up in just a couple of hours, mm-hmm. you're like, I know that I hear him, but I don't want to believe that he is barking the way he's barking right now.
That's not my dog.
It cannot possibly be my dog, because that means I would have to get up.
And beat him.
And go, yes, beat him, choke him. Don't you know I'm sleeping? And so this kind of goes on, and I kind of drift in and out of sleep and annoyance. But I didn't find out the full story. I, you know, woke up this morning, and I guess the dog had just was quiet.
So you did not get up?
Well, I mean, I got
up. You went back to bed?
Well, could have been somebody breaking into your house, and you didn't bother to go check on it.
Hold on.
Is that what we're saying?
Oh, my goodness.
I got up, and
poor
I checked.
Poor Elijah and Isaiah and Teresa. My goodness.
Hold on.
Concerned about Mike?
Hold on. I checked on the dog, and I saw, okay, nothing there, nothing, okay. What's going on with you? He's, you know.
Oh, you did get up.
He's in the sunroom. Yeah, I checked him out.
While you were going in and out of sleep.
But, you know, well, I got up.
Oh, okay.
But I went back.
Oh, okay.
I went back. So I thought, you know, that nipped it in the bud. I thought, okay, I told him, hey, knock it off. So then, you know, I'm sleeping.
He's so obedient. I'm sure he just snapped right to it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Just like Holly.
Oh, she would.
Oh.
I just look at her.
If you look at her, she falls apart.
Exactly.
Well, so this morning, briefly, I had a chance to talk to my wife, and she kind of filled me in on the rest of the story. She says, you know, the dog was barking last night. I said, yeah, I was aware of that. She said, yeah, and you were snoring. I don't believe that I was snoring. I don't believe that I snore, but
so
she.
You really didn't
I'll take your word for it.
She told me she snores, so she says, she went out and talked to the dog herself. then she says, I need to find some place to sleep because, this dog continues to, you know, bark and make noise. So she's standing in the hallway, and she says, on one side I hear you snoring and tearing up that room, and on the other side I hear one of my sons snoring, and then she says, I hear my daughter, the whole house is snoring, and I can't get any sleep.
Sorry, so you're honey. Her.
Sorry, honey.
Oh, my goodness.
So she said, but I took care of it. I was afraid to ask what that meant because when I got up this morning, I didn't hear a peep or nothing from the dogs. In fact, I hadn't seen the dogs. So I hope that the dogs are still okay because she got some sleep. It was sound mm-hmm. asleep, but the last dog that messed with her. Well, hey, she did nothing else.
Well,
we slept.
You have to wonder: did your snoring wake up the dog?
Well, you know, I don't know about that. Like the verdict is not out on that.
Maybe he heard you. He was very upset. He thought there was something in the house.
He was trying to get you to stop snoring.
Is that what it was?
That is a viable explanation to this situation. That's what happened. You woke up the dog.
Wow.
That's what it was.
Wow. I think Chris has my back on this. He doesn't have a mic, although he's nodding. Yes, no. He has my back.
I see he's
I don't snore.
He's nodding no.
Hey, we went on a couple trips. I don't snore. I don't snore. Now, we had someone that did snore. Someone threw a shoe at him, but we won't bring up that. We won't bring that up today. But we desperately needed sleep that night. This sleep thing gets in our way. I'll tell you.
I
if we cannot
get for sleep, man, I get something done.
Believe it or not. Well, you listen, recent technology just come out with this 3D printing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. What is it? You get some sort of acrylic or plastic or something material. You put it in this machine, and it gives you a three-dimensional cutout of whatever you kind of fed it, whatever the software is. And, I mean, it's amazing. So, you know, here, you see all folks do all kinds of things with them. They're a couple thousand dollars for an inexpensive one. The real expensive ones are a lot of money. But here in the near future, you're going to be able to get them, I'm sure, as price continues to go down. at your local store. I think Staples actually even sells one, but they're going to be everywhere. And mm-hmm. with this technology is going to be almost like what happened with iTunes and the ability to be able to download music and compress them in MP3s, and it just transformed the whole movie and music industry mm-hmm. because now everyone had access to music. I want you to hear this saxophone that was made from a 3D printer. You got to see this. Watch this.
Olaf Deagle, and this is the first sneak preview of my 3D printed alto saxophone. So it's been done as a bit of an experiment, really just to see if it could print a saxophone, and surprisingly, it sounds pretty much like a saxophone. So with the initial design, still quite a few problems. You can see a few rubber bands around there, and that's because I designed it the way a traditional saxophone is designed, and really what I should be doing is redesigning it for 3D printing. So the next iteration, for example, I'll be integrating all the springs directly into the keys. Currently, there's a problem with some of the keys leaking a bit, some of the pads leaking a little bit, and that's because not everything's perfect the way it should be, and I need to be able to adjust the spring tension for various keys. It's an incredibly complex mechanism. One key will affect another key and another key, so there's a lot of linkages between the keys, and everything has to be pretty much in perfect balance to work well. So I think the next iteration should be near perfect, and it'll also make assembly a lot easier having all the springs integrated into the keys. So I'll see you in a couple of months with the next version. Thanks.
Amazing!
That was the most intense description of a saxophone I've ever heard.
Exactly.
Is very that cool. Amazing? He printed this on 3D printer, and it worked, and it played. But when I got to thinking about this, imagine, right? You know what it costs to get children involved playing an instrument? I mean, I have a son, I'm not going to mention his name on air today, but he wanted to play the drums.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we say, okay, we'll let you play the drums, we don't let you play the drums. You know, I'm not a fan of anything that makes noise, you know what I'm saying? If it makes noise, you got to stop it. But, okay, he wanted to play the drums, so what do? We get the drum thing and, you know, all that. But mysteriously, I would ask him, "Hey, how's the drum class go? I haven't seen your practice. Oh, it's going. I haven't seen him hit the drum yet. Imagine. He's gonna do guitar this year, by the way. So we'll see if we got the guitar comes out. But imagine what we can do with this type of technology. We can get instruments in the hands of all, you know, the poor who really can't afford a lot of these mm-hmm. instruments." And can you imagine the beautiful sounds and worship that can come out of instruments mm-hmm. digitally printed? And we can mentor young people and all sorts of mm-hmm. folks in the music. My goodness, I see great, great possibility here. Get your 3D printers and let's start
Does
printing
it come with
saxophones.
Lessons?
I don't know. Hey, that's on you. We can print them. We'll get lessons for you. Maybe we'll figure this thing out. But I just look at the possibilities of people everywhere getting instruments so that they can just worship and just praise God. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.